Amen. Hope College, good to see you again. How are you doing? You don't sound like you're excited. You're excited? Okay. I'm not excited about the crazy wind that almost blew me away when I was walking to chapel, but that's probably just me. It is so good to see all of you here back in college again. Some of you are going to be seniors. Any seniors here? Okay. Mildly excited as well. All right. Well, I want to give you just one announcement before we get started. If you're interested in singing, as many people are, Gospel Choir is starting up and they're meeting. There you go. Represent for Gospel Choir. Come out tonight at 6:30 here on the stage of Demnant if you want to learn more about that and get going with practices and whatnot. So, there is a word from the Lord this morning. Our text is James, the book of James, chapter 1, and we'll be in verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is the word of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the recent weeks, it's likely that many of us celebrated the gift of Christmas, and we voiced gratitude to have made it through another 365 days. And although all of this is certainly expected and it's quite fitting, with 2018 now taking its proper seat in the past tense, I want to suggest that we would simmer down and that we would sober up and that we would face a beautiful but often neglected truth. You ready for it? You ready for it? Here you go. Your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested. And just to clarify things, I don't mean tested in the sense that, you know, you goof off and do not study appropriately for an exam and that results in your professor giving you the grade that you deserve. That's not what I'm talking about in terms of testing. I'm talking about something much deeper. Your faith will be tested. I mean, of course, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but it will happen. And so if testing is to be expected, then a sensible person asks the question, am I preparing for it well? These days, we tend to work tirelessly to shield people, especially young people, from encountering struggle or displeasure of any kind. Often enough, it's in an effort to massage our own wounds, ain't really got nothing to do with Jesus. We teach children that life's contests always end in a tie, that there's no such thing as wins and losses, that performance and its subsequent evaluation are rude even. The problem, though, is that these constructs are only applicable in a pixie land of make-believe that's governed by blameless care bears, some alternative universe where unicorns shoot laser beams from their horns and money grows on trees. But in this world that we exist in, like real life down here, full of its blood and guts, full of its tears and terrorists, injustice and addiction, its cavities and its caveats, this place down here, it is impatient, it is cruel, and it is intolerant toward those who believe that just a quick squirt of hand sanitizer is somehow going to cover a multitude of sins. Here, in life here, there is no mercy rule. That is, apart from God's sovereign will and his intervention. Only God gives, only God takes away, and he does both to perfection. Amen, somebody. So in the few verses before us, James has begun a rather frank letter to Jewish Christians that are scattered outside of Israel. James is forever the pragmatist, and he sees an irrefutable link between input and output. For James, you are what you eat. You ought to practice what you preach. You reap what you sow. The proof is in the pudding. Faith without works, James says, is dead. What you believe and what you say about what you say about what you believe is only validated through consistent behavior in James's world. And in the kingdom of God, not only should we view adversities through the bifocals of faith, but the capacity to do that is an indication of maturity. It's an indication that we have matured, that we've retired childish ways. And matter of fact, I'm speaking to everybody. So this is not just for young people, for everybody. It's a sign that we have retired childish ways, 50 years old, 65 years old, 24 years old, whatever it may be, that we have put away childish ways and we have chosen the path of Christian adulthood. James did not say that facing pain is easy, because facing pain is not easy. He simply is saying that it can and it should be photosynthesized for our good. Obedience is the only pathway to please God. You can look throughout all scriptures. That's the only thing that you'll find that pleases God. And this means that we make decisions based on what God has said, not how we feel about what God has said or what has happened in our life. This is faith. Faith is the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things not seen. To be abundantly clear, the point is not to go scouring the scorched earth in search of trials and hard times, as if you can somehow fast track your way into maturity. Years ago, while I was pastoring in Washington, D.C., I came to know some enterprising 20-something recent college grads. They were good-hearted. They were, you know, in the city trying to find their way. Unfortunately, though, with unchecked zeal, sadly, they became captivated by dumpster diving. Dumpster diving as a mechanism to identify with the poor. Now, these were not poor people. They were not poor at all, but they were convinced that somehow by subjecting themselves to this kind of chosen adverse living, that they would establish solidarity and favor with those for whom eating discarded food was a tactic of pure survival. Nobody eats discarded food because they want to. They do it because they have no options. And so I'm going to kick it to you straight. Right now, this approach is offensive. Somebody say offensive. It's also inappropriate. Give it to me. Inappropriate. And it also does not represent the testing of your faith to produce endurance that James is speaking of. This is more like giving yourself an open book test that you wrote and then patting yourself on the back because you ace it. I would argue that it is akin to colonizing privilege that is masked as Christian charity. You could say amen right there if you were led to. Please, please do not go looking for tests. All you got to do is live. All you got to do is live. And even more, just live according to the Bible's instructions. But either way, either path you choose, heartache will not need to ask for directions on the way to your front door. When it arrives, and it will arrive and intrude upon your life, just respond with joy. Joy that only the reservoir of a deep faith life in Christ can give you. And if you totally bomb, which you may do, which all people have done, it's okay. Like, it's all right. The kingdom of God has not fallen apart. Just try and try and try again. Ask for help. You are not alone.
But I need you to know that this is important, because without testing, your faith is largely just an unproven abstraction. And this means that it also could be, I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying it also could be, I'm not saying it is, but it also could be impotent. You should be leery of people who talk a good Jesus game, but who are basically all about smoke and mirrors. They live as conscientious objectors to faith ever costing them anything of real significant worth. The Bible is uncomfortable with untested faith, and we should be too. So as I close, I mean, this week, this month, this semester, this year very well may contain at least a few hostile, soul-wrenching experiences for you. A loved one runs a routine errand to nowhere special and just never makes it home. It seems that the spot on your liver or your prostate, your breast or your brain was caught early, but scans are inconclusive. There can be irreconcilable differences that cloud a covenant in someone's life that you know, or even your own life. There can be betrayal. There can be deceit, frantic phone calls or text messages that are trying to explain the unexplainable. There can be fire and flood and financial famine, and sometimes all at the same time, there's broken bones and broken dreams. And I think you're getting the point. All of this is just to say that none of it sidesteps Christians. Like, just because you're rocking with Jesus doesn't mean you're excluded from the trials and tribulations of life. We face all of these things as well. And it's scary, like really scary, like scarier than any haunted film. But gorging yourself on a fast food diet of soft landings only ever adds to the trauma. It also only hurts the church, the body of Christ, because we need hopeful reminders about the power of the blood of the Lamb. Do y'all know that? The power of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that God has brought me through something and I believe he lives. Although he wrote in his book Commentaries on the Civil War that the experience is the teacher of all things, Julius Caesar was wrong. Scripture is the best teacher. And so learn from it, read it, choose to stare back at pain with the irrevocable joy of the Lord. Go in peace.